Today's shir is Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Daled. We will begin on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Mabeis, five lines from the bottom. The Pasuk in Yeshaya, the Navi in Yeshaya, tells us that Sennacherib was attacking Yerushalayim and was demanding that Yerushalayim, the people, surrender. Sennacherib, being the arrogant individual that he was, warned that even Hashem cannot prevent the city from falling. To show, of course, that Sennacherib was wrong, Hashem made that night a Malach destroyed Sennacherib's entire army while it was sleeping, killing 185,000 men. So the Pasuk says, as these people were killed, the Pasuk says, V'tachas kvoidoi yikad ki yikad esh. Some explain that this Gemara comes here because we have here again Rabbi Lozer and Shmuel ben Nachmeni mentioned, who were mentioned in the previous Gemara. Others explain we're going to speak about clothing, and we've spoken already in our Shiurim about clothing, so now the Gemara continues to discuss that. So says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, V'tachas kvoidoi. Under the covet that was burning, but the covet itself was not burnt. What does that mean? That means under their clothing, the clothing represent the covet, and under the clothing there was burning, but not the clothing itself. Because again, Rabbi Yochanan is according to his opinion that we learned in yesterday's shir, Rabbi Yochanan karo lemanim mechudosai. He calls somebody's clothing mechubedosai. And of course the question is, why was it burnt that way? So I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat that I saw was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that they should be able to get hold of their clothing. So the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able that they should be able to get their clothing was if the clothing would be saved. If it would be burnt, it would be useless. Another pshat was that they were from the children of Shem. And remember in Parashas Noach that Shem and Yofes were concerned about their father's honor, and therefore they covered him with clothing, and therefore they were blessed now that they were saved, that they were burnt under their clothing. Another pshat is that they wanted to be able to count how many people died to show the tremendous nace that Hashem had made for Klal Yisrael. But if everybody would have been burnt, then you couldn't see how many people survived. So that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu made that they remained whole, and you could count, as we said a moment ago, that there were 185,000 soldiers that were killed. Rabbi Elazar Omer v'sachas kvoidoi, tachas kvoidoi mamish, the place of honor, which means the neshama was burnt, but not the guf. Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmeni Omer, Tachs kvoidai kusreifus bnei Aaron. They were burnt like the bnei Aaron were burnt. Malahan sreifus nesham v'guf kaim. We know when the bnei Aaron were burnt was sreifus nesham v'guf kaim. Afkan, it was sreifus nesham v'guf kaim. So as the Mefarshim explained, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar really agree that it was under the clothing that they were burnt, but the clothing survived. On the other hand, according to Rav Shmuel ben Nachmeni, it was just that the neshama got burnt, but even the guf stayed. And of course, the Ben Yoyada explains, why were they zoicha to such a tremendous nace? The reason they were zoicha to a nace was to show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was only killed them to show that he is the one in control and that they shouldn't think that they were able to do anything against him. Says the Gemara, Amar of Acha, Amar Baraba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Menayin l'shini begadim min haTorah. How do we know that on Shabbos one is obligated to change his clothing? Shenema, the pasuk says, O pashas begadim v'lovish begadim mecherim. We know that every day one of the avoidas in the Beis Hamikdash was Trumas Hadeshen, cleaning out the ash, and therefore they didn't want to use the same clothing that they cleaned the ash to do the avoida. The Torah is teaching us the recherets that begadim shebishavan kdeir l'rabbi, the clothing you use to cook in, ayim zeben kois l'rabbi. You should not use to pour a cup. So here too, Shabbos, we should change our clothing. So of course, the Mefarshim asks that we already learned in yesterday's shiur that shlo yibamabushcha shel Shabbos kamabushcha chol. Why did the Gemara have to teach us this halacha again? So Ben Yayada explains that one explanation he gives is that if somebody has limited funds, what to do for Shabbos, what he should do is spend it on Shabbos clothing. Because the inyan of Shabbos clothing has a source in the Torah. Another pshat that the Ben Yayada suggests is that a person, when he changes his clothing on Shabbos, it has to be that he changes them in a way that it's noticeable that he's changing his clothing. There's something different about his Shabbos clothing than his weekday clothing. Another pshat is that we would think that a person being busy with his clothing is not appropriate. Maybe it's in the category of La Yilbash Gevesim Lasisha. Men are not supposed to be particular about what they wear. So that's why the Gemara comes to teach us that it for Kavod Shabbos, it's certainly mutter. Continues the Gemara uses the words Lamdet Chayotar Derecheretz. Why does the Gemara use the word Derecheretz? So I saw that even though the Gemara is teaching us that you should have different clothing for one avoida than from the other avoida, that's only lechatchila. But if b'di'eved, it's acceptable if you have the same pair of clothing for both. Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, but Amar Rav Yochanan, g'nai lo Talmud Chacham, shi'etz b'noyim b'taloyim l'shok. It's not appropriate that a Talmud Chacham should walk in the street with shoes that are patched. Ask the Gemara, for Rav Chaba bar Chanina nafak, Rav Chaba bar Chanina did wear patched shoes. Answers the Gemara, Amar Acha b'reid Rav Yochanan, b'reid Rav Nachman b'taloy ga b'taloy. If it's double patched, what I meant to say was that it was double patched. But if it only has one patch, it's not that terrible. V'amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, kol Talmud Chacham shenimtza revav al bigdoy, a Talmud Chacham who garment is dirty with grease, chayv misa. Shnema, the pasuk says, kol mesanai ehevu moves, al tikru mesanai ele mesniyei. Somebody who acts this way causes that a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that Talmidei Chacham should be hated. And the whole purpose of a Talmud Chacham in this world is that he should bring Kiddush Hashem. And if a Talmud Chacham acts in a way that brings Chas V'Shalom, the opposite, that it brings Chilul Hashem, then that's not what a Talmud Chacham is here for. And in fact, I saw from the Darkim Moshe, the Ramah, that says that a Talmud Chacham is allowed to look in a mirror to make sure that what he's wearing, he's dressed properly, because even though, again, as we mentioned a moment ago, isn't there a concern of lo yilbash keves simel sisha? But he says if the reason he's doing it is because to cause a kiddush Hashem, people will say that's how a Talmud Chacham looks. I want to be, my children should be Talmid Chachamim. I want, it causes a kiddush Hashem. That's why he's supposed to look. He may do so. I saw a beautiful pshat called Talmud Chacham shenimtza revav al begdoy. Doesn't mean the clothing that you wear outside. Revav al begdoy references the inside of the Talmud Chacham. What the Gemara is teaching us is Talmud Chacham shenimtza revav al begdoy, that a Talmud Chacham has to be particular, that he should be toichai kabaroi, that is inside and outside, that the person should be, that the Talmud Chacham should be pure in all ways possible. That's how he's supposed to, Talmud Chacham is supposed to look. Rvinama Rvaditmar. It's not grease, but Rvad means a stain of zera, of semen. V'loy pligi, and there's really no machlokes, says the Gemara. Habaglima, the upper garment, habavusha. Another is the upper more visible garment, even grease is not allowed. On the lower garment, it's semen, which is not allowed. Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan. Ma'idik siv, Shaharach Avdi Yishayo Orem V'Yachav. The Pasuk tells us that Hashem told Yishayo to take off his sackcloth, remove his shoes, and that's how Yishayo walked. Orem, so says the Gemara, it's inconceivable to mean that he walked naked. What it meant was, Orem Bebegodim Beluim, that he, even though a Talmid Chacham is not allowed to walk around normally with torn garments, normally a Talmid Chacham is not allowed to walk around with torn shoes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you, for my special reason, should walk around that way. Says the Gemara. Tanan Hosam. Revav Amadeya Chaitzitz. We know the halacha is that anything that becomes tamei and you have to put into the mikvah, you have to be careful that there should be no chatzitza, nothing intervening between that and the mikvah. The halacha is that midaraisa, a chatzitza, is only a chatzitza if it's rubai umakbid. It covers most of the area that you have to put it, most of what you put into the mikvah, and it also has to be something that bothers you. However, Chazal said that if it's miut hamakbit, even if it's a small amount, but it bothers you, or if it's rubai, if it covers most of the area, and even if it doesn't bother you, the halacha is it becomes a chatzitza. So the Mishnah teaches us in Masechet Mikvos, Revav Alamardeya, grease on a sow cloth that they put on top of the donkey, chaitzitz is considered a chatzitza. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer says, Rav Shimon Gamliel, it's only considered a chatzitza at ki isra atalki. If it takes up the area of this coin, the isra atalki. Well, begodim, continues the Mishnah teaching us, if there is this grease on clothing, mitzad echad, if it's only on one side of the piece of clothing, ain't a chaitzitz, it's not considered chatzitza. But if it goes through to both sides, it's considered a chatzitza. That even if it's only on one side of the garment, it is considered chatzitza. Says the Gemara, Barminei Reb Shimon ben Lakish Reb Chanina, Madas mitzad echad, when we spoke about the stain on the sow cloth, what's considered a stain that it should be considered chatzitza? Mitzad echad, if it's from one side, or mishnei tzadim, or from both sides. Amalei, to which he responded, Zulay shemata, shemati, I did not hear an exact answer to this question. Ava kiyotz b'shemati, I heard something similar to this question, the Tanan. Rabbi Yosef Omer, shabanoim, a stain on the garment of Banoim, who we will identify in a moment who they are, mitzad echad, even if the stain is only from one side, that's a stain. The shabur, but the beged of an amaretz, mishnei tzadim. It has to be from both sides. V'loy tehei madas, by amaretz, it's only considered a stain if it's stained from both sides. So it says the Gemara, v'loy tehei madas, chshuvim v'bigdash l'amaretz. We're not going to treat a saddle cloth stricter than we treat the beged of amaretz. So if the beged of amaretz is only from both sides, so certainly mardas is only considered a chatzitza if it's from both sides. My banoim. So ask the Gemara, who are these banoim? Am Rabbi Yochanan, Eile Talmid Chachamim. It refers to the Talmid Chachamim sha'oskim b'minyanu shel yomei kol yomeihem. They are rebuilding the world. As the Gemara says, the Pasuk says, Im lo brisi yom v'layla, chuka shemayim v'aretz lo samti. So the world exists because of Talmud Torah. As we learn in Pirkei Avos, the Mishnah says in Perek Aleph, Mishnah Beis, Ashlosh dvarim ha'olam oimed, ala Torah v'al avoid v'al gemilas chasodim. So the world rests on Torah. The Torah is considered banyanoi because it's the banyanoi shal oilam. And the NLO go a step further. They say that not only is Torah considered Torah, but together with Torah's chesed, because the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks for is Torah's chesed, a Torah that people do chesed with. And the Talmid Chacham also, they continue to explain, those that do the avoider, their tefillah, their avoider Hashem, is what the world rests on. Another pshat that I saw, as we know istakel baraisa ubara alma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked into the Torah, and after he looked into the Torah, that's how he created the world. So the Talmid HaChamim are learning Torah, which is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu used to create the world. Then I saw a beautiful pshat from the Satmar Rebbe. The Satmar Rebbe says that we know that Lo Salavai, B'mheir Yemeinu, when Mashiach comes, the Beis HaMikdash Shlishi will come down already built, prepared from Shamayim, from heaven. Says the Satmar Rebbe, who are those that are building that Beis HaMikdash that will come down already prepared when Mashiach comes? The Talmid HaChamim. So the Banoim, the people who learn Torah in this world, the people who do mitzvahs in the world, those are the individuals who are building the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore our Gemara very appropriately calls them the Banoim. Vam Rabbi Yochanan. And because of this, the Gemara continues. Eizet Talmud Chochem, Shemachzir Le'aveda B'tfiyas Ayin. Normally we know the Gemara Masechet Bava Metzia teaches us that if somebody loses something and he wants to claim it, the Gemara Masechet Bava Metzia, Daf Chaf Gimel Amabeis, teaches us that you have to give a simen, you have to prove that it's yours. But if somebody is a Talmud Chochem, he is trusted if he can recognize that this item belonged to him. Who is that person? A person who's careful that he wears his clothing on the proper side, that is a person that we know is a Talmud Chochem. That, because as we just learned in the Gemara, Talmid HaChachamim are very careful to do everything, to be always in the proper clothing and everything proper. That's the person who we could trust. Even though the Gemara Masechet Bava Metzia that we just quoted says that a different way of knowing who is a Talmud Chochem, the Gemara says that it's an individual, She'enim Shana B'deburoi, that is, he's always honest. And here we're saying that he's careful in the way he wears his clothing. So the Tosfos HaRosh says that the two Gemaras are not arguing. Our Gemara gives one simon, and that Gemara gives a different simon. The Agos Ashri, however, disagrees. And the Agos Ashri says that the two Gemaras complement each other, and you have to have both qualities to be considered such a Talmud Chochem. Furthermore, the Rishonim, Rashi, and the Miri say that our Gemara is obviously not speaking about your outer garment, because an outer garment, everybody doesn't wear backwards. The Gemara is trying to teach us that the definition of a Talmud Chochem is a person that always, even the garments that people don't see, he's careful to wear properly. The Ben Yoyada explains that this Gemara is not to be taken literally. It's not speaking about the person's clothing. The Pasuk always said, the Pasuk in Kehelis says, B'chol eis yubegadecha levonim. A person's clothing should always be white, and refers to a person's midos, the way he behaves. And a person who always should use all of his midos, he should use all of his characteristics for avodas Hashem. He should. And I saw another beautiful pshat from the Yismach Moshe. The Yismach Moshe says, pshat in the Gemara is that the Gemara says that the Torah quotes this in Aruch Chaim Simen Beis, that the mark of a Talmud Chochem is tzalosoi b'fonov ve'evloi b'liboi. He's on the outside, he looks happy, and the inside, he looks, he's bavelus on the tsar of the Churban. That's hamahapich. There are other people that are inside they're happy, on the outside they look sad. A Talmud Chochem is supposed to be happy on the outside and bavelus on the inside. Another pshat that I saw is that the Rambam says that a person, if he sees that he's weak, the Shamitzur and Balocha quotes the Gra that says that the Rambam says if a person sees that he's weak in any midah, he should go to the other extreme, and then he'll end up in the middle. Besides, when it comes to modesty, so says the Shamitzur and Balocha, the Talmud Chacham who knows that he has to work on himself and improve himself and be mehapach midoysov, that is the Talmud Chacham, that is who is considered Talmud Chacham. V'am Rabbi Yochanan, Eze Talmud Chacham, Shememanim Oysoi Ala Tzibur, who's the Talmud Chacham that we point, parents Al Tzibur, that we point him to be a leader of the community? Zeh Sheshalom Oysoi Dovar Alocha B'kal Mokim, he can be asked a question anywhere in Shas, Voimer, and he can answer. V'afil B'Mesach Tekala. Mesach Tekala is an easy story. And so some explain, the Masechta Kala is considered the last Masechta. And he has to be a person that learned through all of Shas. Another pshat is, the Masechta Kala is a Masechta that is a subject that people aren't that don't come up that much. A person to be considered a Talmud Chacham, to be Mamanus on a Tzibur, is the person that he knows to be able to answer any halachic issue that comes up. V'am Rabbi Yochanan, Eze Talmud Chacham Shebnei Iroi Metzuvan Lasis Loi Melachtoi. The Talmid Chacham, we have to support them. And in fact, the Shas HaTshuvos Divrei Chaim, Chosh Mishpat Chel Lebei Simen Samach, says that there's a need that every city should make sure that the Talmid Chachamim in that city are taken care of, they and their families, that should be supported properly. Who is that Talmud Chacham? Zem Shemaniach Chafzoi. He stops, he doesn't work for himself. V'oisik B'Chafzoi Shemayim. He's concerned to Chafzoi Shemayim. V'hani Mili, however, this that we said, that we have to support him, is L'mitrach B'Riftei. We have to give him bread, but we're not obligated to make him live a life of luxury. V'am Rabbi Yochanan, Eze Talmud Chacham, who is the definition of a Talmud Chacham? Kol she'shayal nesoy halacha b'kol mokim, someone who we ask him a halacha in any subject, v'omroi, and he's able to answer it. L'may nafkamina, why do we have to know? Says the Gemara, l'mnuyei parnas al tzibur. And Rabbi Yochanan already said that to point a parnas al tzibur is somebody that we can ask halacha anywhere and he can answer. So says the Gemara, if he's only proficient in one Masechta, then Ba'asrei, we could appoint him a Talmud Chacham in his city. But if he's proficient in all areas of Halacha, then Bereish Masifta, he could be appointed to be a Rosh Yeshiva. Again, depending on how much you know how to learn, that is how that's what position you're entitled to. So I saw that the Chazon Ish said that the Gemara says, "Eze Talmud Chacham, kol she'shayal nesoy halacha b'kol mokim v'omroi." Doesn't mean that he has the answer to every question. What it means is he's proficient enough to know how to get the answer to every question, and that's how the Chazon Ish defended why in the yeshivas they didn't learn that much, they didn't cover that much ground. He says because what they trained them was to know how to approach a shayla. And our Gemara says you don't have to have the answer to every Shaila, but you have to know how to approach every Shaila. Says the Gemara. Rav Shimon, Lokishimer, what is the definition of Banoyim that we spoke about earlier? Elu Kelim Haralurim Haboyim Bnei Sayam. It's referring to the garments that the bathhouse attendants made from very fine material that came from Medina Sayam. And that's where we had the discussion, what is, what isn't considered a chatzitza. Ask the Gemara, the Memra, the Chivrininu, does that mean that they were white? Because we spoke about stains. So if they're white, we could understand why it's considered a stain. But if they're not white, why are they considered stained? So ask the Gemara, how can we say that they're white? Vamalei Rav Yanai Labonov. Rav Yanai told his children, Bonai, my children, I'll take Baruni Loi Bekelem Levonov Loi Bekelem Shchayrim. Don't bury me not in white garments or in black garments. Labonim, don't bury me in white garments. Shem Loi Eska, maybe I won't be Zoicha to be together with Tzadikim. V'ayu Kachosim Ben Avelim. All of them are going to be sitting, the people who I'm sitting with, are going to be sitting in black clothing, and I'm going to be sitting in white clothing. Shchayrim, don't dress me in black clothing, Shema Eskav Eyek Elva Bechasanim. Maybe I will be with the tzaddikim. They will be in white, and I'll be black. Ela Bekelim Halur Yoyim. Bury me in these bathhouse clothing. Haboyim Dinas Yoyim. Alma, we see that Tzumkinin, they were colored. Because if they weren't colored, and that's sort of a compromise. Answers the Gemara Loikasha. Habaglimi, the cloaks were colored. Habalavushe, the other garments were white. What we see from here is that there's when a person will get up by Tchias HaMesim, when we're going to get up by Tchias HaMesim, they're going to be different. We're going to get up in our clothing. But that's a difficulty, because the Rambam says, Ha'olam haba, ein by guf ha'gviya, el nefashis ha'tzadikin, b'vad, b'loy guf k'malach ha'sharis. In the Olam Haba, we're going to be like Malachim, without clothing. There's no eating, there's no drinking. We're going to be not need any of the needs that we have in the Olam Haza. And the Rambam continues, this is in the Perek Hes of Hilchos Tshuva, Halacha Beis. So the question that the Ravid asks right away on the Rambam is that here we see that people will get up dressed in clothing like they were dressed in this world. So the Kesef of Mishnah says that when Tchias HaMesim comes, people are going to get up with their bodies and with their clothing. What the Gemara here means, that what the Rambam means, is that there's going to be another stage. After Tchias HaMesim, there's going to be a stage of Olam Haba. And in the stage of Olam Haba, that's what the Rambam is referring to, that there won't be any clothing, etc. We learned in the Mishnah of Shmuel Omer Mekaplim that we're allowed to fold clothing. And then we continued in the Mishnah discussion about Yom Kippur and Shabbos, again, as we learned in our shir, in the previous shir. In their calendar, Yom Kippur could come out on Friday or on Sunday. And the question that the Mishnah, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva and our Mishnah discussed was if Yom Kippur comes out on one of those days, so if Yom Kippur came on Friday, could you bring the leftover fats on the Mizbeach on Friday night, which is Shabbos? Or if Yom Kippur comes out on Sunday, could you on Matzoi Shabbos bring over the leftover fats from the Kabbonis that were brought on Shabbos? Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan. The Pasuk, when it speaks about the Kabbonis Shabbos, says, Oilas Shabbos B'Shabbatoi. So obviously, the word B'Shabbatoi in that Pasuk is superfluous. Coming to teach us, says the Gemara, Liman al Chayvah Shabbos Shekravim Yom Kippurim. The leftover fats from Shabbos could be burnt on Matzah Shabbos, which is Yom Kippur. Yochol, continues the Pasuk, Brisa, Yochol Afshar Yom Kippurim B'Shabbos, that you could bring the leftover fats from Yom Kippur if it fell on Friday night. Tamaloymer B'Shabbatoi. You could only bring the fats of that day, not the fats of the Yom Kippur the day before. However, the halacha is, that's only regarding fats that were not put on the Mizbeach before. But fats, says Tosfos, that were on the Mizbeach already from before Shabbos, of course, remain there. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Oil Shabbos B'Shabbatoi, Limen Al-Chayel V'Shabbos Shekravim Yontif. The leftover fats could be put on the Mizbeach, Matzah Shabbos was a Yontif. Yochol Af B'Yom Kippurim. I would say the same thing is about Yom Kippur as well. Tamloimer B'Shabbatoi. That this halacha only applies regarding Yom Tif and not regarding Yom Kippur. Shetim Tzoloimer, so suggests the Gemara, what is the basis of the machloikis between Rabbi Shmuel and Mekiva? L'divri Yishmol, Nedarim v'Nedavos Kreivim b'Yontif. The Gemara Masech the Beya, that Fyotesom and Aleph quotes a machloikis Tanoim, if on Yontif we're allowed to bring the Nedarim and the Nedavos, or maybe only the Kabbonis that could be brought on Yontif, a kabbonis that must be brought on Yontif. The kabbonis that you don't have to bring on Yontif, you may not bring on Yontif. So the Gemara is suggesting, according to Rabbi Shmuel, the Darm v'Nedavos Kreivim b'Yontif. The Darm v'Nedavos could be brought on Yontif. So if they could be brought on Yontif, then it's surely permissible that the fats that were left over from those kabbonis could be the fats that were left over from Kabbonis that were brought on Shabbos could be brought on Yontif. Why? Because if kabonis, like nedarim and nedavis, which you don't really have to bring on yontif. The halach is you could bring them on yontif. Certainly, kabonis that you brought on Shabbos, which you had to bring on Shabbos, their leftovers could be brought on yontif. So for that, I don't need a pasuk. So what must the pasuk come to teach us? Not about yontif. It must be coming to teach us about Yom Kippur. And ledivrei Rabbi Akiva, but according to Rabbi Akiva, nedarim v'nedavis ain't craving b'yontif, and therefore I need a pasuk to tell us that even though nedarim v'nedavis may not be brought on yontif, v'chi yitzrakra, what do I need the pasuk to teach me? L'mishir b'yontif, to tell me that at least the leftover kabbonis from Shabbos can be brought on yontif. Rabbi Akiva asks a question. He says that the Gemara seems to teach, when we're talking about nedarim v'nedavis craving b'yontif, that's only referring to Karban Shlomim. And here we're talking about the Kabbonis of Shabbos. The Kabbonis of Shabbos are a Karban Oila. So how can we bring a Raya from Karban Shlomim to Karban Oila? And Rabbi Akiva Eger doesn't have an answer to this question. He remains with a Tzarech Iyan. His son-in-law, however, the Chassam Sofer, says that we have to say that according to this Gemara, the man the Omer that holds Nedarim v'nedavis craving b'yontif, it's not only Karban Oila, not only Karban Shlomim that may be brought on yontif, it's even the Karban Oila as well. Says the Gemara, Amar Rab Zeira, Ki avinu b'bavel, when I was in Bavel, Hava Amri, they said, Hadatanya, Yom Kippurim Shechal Yis Erev Shabbos. If Yom Kippur falls out on Erev Shabbos, Lo Yaya Taiken, they didn't blow the shofar. We know that every Shabbos, right before Shabbos, they used to blow the shofar to let everybody know that they have to stop working. They have to know that it's Shabbos. However, and when Yom Kippur falls on Friday, they didn't blow the shofar. Over Matzah Shabbos, normally we know on Matzah Shabbos, you make Avdolah. But if Yom Kippur falls on Matzah Shabbos, we don't make Avdolah that Matzah Shabbos like we do even if Yontif comes out on Matzah Shabbos. And I thought, Divrei Hakol hi, that this brisa, everybody accepts this halacha. However, ki selikna l'hosam, when I arrived in Eretz Yisrael, ashkachtinu l'Rabbi Yehuda b'Rei Rav Shimon Pazi de Yosef v'Kamar, Rabbi Kiva hi, that this brisa is representing the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, that holds that chel v'Shabbos are not brought in Yom Kippur, and therefore, Rabbi Kiva, as we just learned, is obviously of the opinion, says Rashi, that Shabbos and Yom Kippur are of equal status. And since Shabbos and Yom Kippur are of equal status, you don't make Havdalah, you don't separate. Dear Rabbi Shmuel, because if we're going to follow the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, who just taught us in the Mishnah yesterday's share as well, that Shchel Shabbos craving b'Yom Kippurim, Litka, we should blow the shofar on Yom Kippur that comes out on Erev Shabbos to teach us that to make sure that the Kahanim don't bring that Shabbos any leftover fats from the Kabbonis that were brought on Yom Kippur. Kehecha de lehevi yadi, the chel v'Shabbos, kraven b'Yom Kippurim. And we'll know that Yom Kippur is less than Shabbos, and therefore next year, if Yom Kippur comes out on Sunday, they'll know that they could bring the fats of Shabbos on Yom Kippur. V'amin ala no. And I said, that's not a good enough reason to blow the shofar. Because Kahanim's reason, the Kahanim are people who are always Zoris, and since the Pasuk says, Yoru Mishpatech LeYakov, the Kahanim are the ones that taught Klai Yisrael Torah. The Kahanim are the greatest Talmid Chachamim, and because the Kahanim are the greatest Talmid Chachamim, we're not concerned that they're not going to notice Halacha, and there is no need to blow the shofar for that purpose. Says the Gemara, Amalei makshisha b'rei d'Rav Chizda l'Ravashi, mi amrina kahanim's rizim heim. Is that a good enough reason not to say because kahanim's rizim heim? But Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Sukkah, when the Mishnah describes the various tekiyas that they made every Shabbos, and it says Sholosh, three tekiyas were blown, lahaflas am melocha, to let everybody know that they have to stop working. V'sholosh, lahavdil bin kodesh l'chol, to separate between kodesh and chol. So we see that there should be, everybody should know that there's a difference between Shabbos and the weekdays. So why are we telling, to differentiate when Shabbos is beginning and you could only bring the Shabbos to the Kabbonis? Says the Gemara, that's not what it meant. They blew it in the Beis HaMikdash, but the blowing wasn't for the Kahanim. The Kahanim know what to do on their own. The reason it was blown in the Beis HaMikdash is K'damar Abaya, L'shar Am D'Birushalayim. The Gemara there as well in Masechet Sukkah teaches us that Hilni Amalka donated a menorah of gold to the Beis HaMikdash, that when the sun shined on that gold, on that menorah, they knew when is the Zman Krishma. But ask the Gemara that the people, the Kahanim, who did the avoid in the Beis HaMikdash, did not read Krishma, did not say Krishma at the proper time. They did it later because they were busy with the avoida. So what are they, so for whom did Hilni Hamalka donate it? So the Gemara says there, L'shar Amad Yerushalayim, for the other people who were there, not for the Kahanim. Hachanami, it's not for the Kahanim that we need to blow. The Kahanim know what the halacha is on their own. It's L'shar Amad Yerushalayim. Says the Gemara, but we're going to learn, now we're going to begin learning a new halacha. The halacha is that on Yom Kippur, avoida, melacha is certainly asur, but the Gemara in Masechta Yuma says that they allow them in on Yom Kippur, bin amincha lemala, to do knivas hayarek. Knivas hayarek means to prepare the vegetables. What is the melacha involved in preparing the vegetables? So some say it's taking off the bad leaves from the good leaves, which is boirer. Some say it involves cleaning the leaves, which is also a form of boirer. Others say that it's cutting the vegetables into small pieces, which we discussed in our previous shiurim, that cutting vegetables into small pieces may be also because of teichen. The way most Rishonim learn this Gemara, and that's the way we're going to learn the Gemara, that even though the Mishnah Masechta Yuma tells us that in Yom Kippur min haminchal mamala you're allowed to do knivas hayerek, the malacha that's being done is only a malacha of the Rabbanon. It's not a malacha deraisa. Moreover, there's a big machloikis why Chazal allowed it. Rashi explains that the reason it was allowed was because of agmas nefesh. A person is hungry at that point, late in the day, on Yom Kippur, and therefore he wants very much to eat. So we let him, and we tell him you could deal with food and still not be allowed to eat it. That's agmas nefesh. Other Rishonim take a different approach, just the opposite approach. Since it's already late in the day, and people already have to start thinking about the meal they're going to eat, Matzah Yom Kippur, so they allow them to do this so they can have food ready for the meal right after Yom Kippur. Why was it only let at that late in the day? Because that late in the day, we're not concerned that people, if they're working with food, may come to eat the food. Because they say, Yom Kippur is almost over, and that's when I'll be able to eat, and I'm not going to eat on Yom Kippur itself. So says the Gemara, Veliska, why don't we let them blow shofar on Yom Kippur on Erev Shabbos, kehecha deleade deshar b'knivas yerek b'minchal mala, that they should know that they can already do knivas hayerek. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Yosef, l'fisha ein doichen shvus lahater. You're really not allowed to blow the shofar on Shabbos, you're not allowed to blow the shofar on Yom Kippur. So when will we sometimes relax the blowing? That's only when it's to teach us that we're not allowed to do something. But to blow the shofar, to teach them that they could do knivas hayerek, that we wouldn't do. Even though there's an issur shvus in blowing the shofar, if there's only a tachlis for doing it in the short term, av shvus lo yitiru, if there's not going to be an immediate lesson, we won't allow to do it. So when Yom Kippur comes out on Erev Shabbos, there's no need for this year, because this year they're not going to do Knivas Yerek. Because what did they do with the vegetables that they cleaned? What they did with the vegetables that they cleaned is that they only ate, as we've learned previously, they used to cook the vegetables. So they cleaned and prepared the vegetables in order to be able to eat those vegetables at night. But here, this year, we're not going to eat vegetables that night. The night of Yom Kippur this year is Friday night. Friday night after Yom Kippur is over, we can't cook the vegetables. And since we can't cook the vegetables, we are not going to there's no reason to blow the shofar to tell people that Knivas Yerek is mutter. Next year, when Yom Kippur isn't on Friday, we don't allow a shvus to be violated if it's not going to teach us something which is immediately for us to know. Says the Gemara, v'shvus kver v'yitiru, are we allowed to violate a shvus for immediate need? V'tanan, the Mishnah says in Masech Techulin, Yontif Shchalias Erev Shabbos, if Yontif is on Friday, Taikin. We make Avdolah, we blow Shofar to make sure that everybody knows that Yontif is ending, and on Yontif, Oichel Nefesh is Mutter, but in Shabbos, Oichel Nefesh is not Mutter. V'loi Mavdilin, so when Yontif ends Friday night, and now with Shabbos, we don't say Havdalah, because we're entering into a higher level Kedusha. Shabbos is a higher level Kedusha than Yontif. However, if Yontif is a Matzah Shabbos, Mavdilin, we say we make Havdalah. We make Havdalah on Matzah Shabbos because we're exiting from a higher level Kedusha from Shabbos to a lower level Kedusha Yontif. V'loi Taiken, we don't blow when Shabbos is an Erev Yontif, we don't blow on Shabbos the Shofar. V'mai, if we ask the Gemara, Liska, why shouldn't we blow to Kech Deliadi the Shechita Lalta? If we should let everybody know that now it's Yontif and you get a lot of Shecht, you're allowed to do Melach for Eichel Nefesh. Ela Mechvarta, from here we see Kedreb Yosef, that the Teretz is like Reb Yosef said, that we don't blow to teach a Heter. So we only blow for Isser, not for Usser. So from here we see that because of Shabbos, we don't blow. So says the Rashba, from here we should not learn that every Matzah Shabbos, which is not a Yontif, we do blow Shofar, because on a regular Matzah Shabbos, there is no big need to tell people that Shabbos is over. We only thought, says the Rashba, on Yontif, where we want to prepare food, L'kavod Yontif, we should blow, teaches us the Mishnah that we don't. So the Mishnah clearly taught us that when Erev Yontif falls on Shabbos, they didn't blow a shofar. So Rashi says that, Rashi Masech Techulin says, that an ordinary Erev Yontif, which falls during the week, the shofar was blown, just as an Erev Shabbos, that everybody should know that Yontif is coming. And Rashi is telling us that the Mishnah is teaching us that if Erev Yontif is on Shabbos, we're not going to blow the shofar. The Rambam, however, says, however, holds that the shofar was never blown on Erev Yontif. So according to the Rambam, the Mishnah is not coming to tell us that if it was Shabbos, Erev Yontif, you don't blow the shofar. You never blow the shofar Erev Yontif. According to Rambam, the Mishnah is coming to teach us that normally the shofar was blown on Matzah Shabbos, but this Matzah Shabbos, when Yontif falls on Matzah Shabbos, we don't blow the shofar to let everybody know that Yontif is beginning. We don't blow the shofar for that reason. The Ramban has a different way of learning. He says that normally on a Matzah Shabbos, they didn't blow the shofar. But one would think that here we should blow the shofar on Matzah Shabbos to tell everybody Yontif is coming and to be able to properly prepare for Yontif, teaches us Gemara that they didn't. The Mishnah Berurah says that even though that we're in Golis, it's difficult to blow a shofar in Golis every Erev Shabbos, according to the Rambam, according to Rashi, even every Erev Yontif. But the Ramah says that in many communities, they appoint a person to go around and announce that it's Shabbos is coming when the Zman is. And the Mishnah Berurah says that it's a great mitzvah to volunteer for this job. And somebody who does this mitzvah of letting people know when Shabbos is coming and to stop doing melacha, he will be zoicha, who will have children who will grow up to be Gedolei Yisrael. And the Bi'ur Halacha says that even when Erev Shabbos falls on Yontif, we should go make sure that everybody should realize, make sure that everybody knows when it's Yontif. Says the Gemara, V'litke, Amrav Zeira, Amrav Huna, V'amrele, Amrav Abba, Amrav Huna, Yom Kippur and Shechalis B'Shabbos, if Yom Kippur is on Shabbos, also B'Knivas Hayarek. Even though we learned that normally Yom Kippur in the afternoon we're allowed to do K'nivas Hayarek, that is not permitted when Yom Kippur is on Shabbos. Amarava, Amaramana, Tana, we learned in a brisa, Menali Yom Kippurim, Shechalis B'Shabbos, Ashos B'Knivas Hayarek. How do you know when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, K'nivas Hayarek is not permitted? Tamalayma Shabboson, Shavois. And the way Tosfos explains this Gemara, this is all an asmachta, because we're not dealing with the rices. Lamai, Ilay Malacha, if it's come to teach us not to do Malacha Vaksiv, the Pari already says, Loisaska Malacha. La Alav, a Knivas Yarek, it's coming to teach us that under these circumstances, Knivas Yarek is Osir. Shmamino. Amrav Chibar Abba, Amrav Yochanan, Yom Kippurim Shechalis B'Shabbos, Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos, he holds Mutab Knivas Yarek. And again, as we're learning, it's not a Deraisa, so they were lenient. Meisvei asked the Gemara, How could you say this, Rabbi Yochanan? The Brisa says, "Menayim Yom Kippur Shechalis B'Shabbos, Sh'os B'Knivas Hayerek, Tamaloyim Shabbos and Shvois Lamai." What does this pasuk come to teach us? Ilayim L'Malacha. The Torah already says, "V'Ksiv Loisas Malacha." Elav, isn't the pasuk coming to teach us that in these circumstances, when Yom Kippur is on Shabbos, K'nivas Hayerek is Asur? Says the Marloi, it's coming to teach us L'Malacha. We already know that the Torah says Lysasa ka malacha. The pasuk is coming to teach us that not only if somebody does malacha is he chayiv a loisa say, he's also chayiv a mitzvah say of he's over a mitzvah say if he does malacha on Shabbos. Tanya kavasid Rabbi Yochanan, and we learned the brisa says the Gemara like Rabbi Yochanan. The brisa says Yom Kippurim shechal lis b'Shabbos. If Yom Kippur comes out on Shabbos, if Yom Kippur comes out on Shabbos, Leisasa kamalocha, you shouldn't do any work. El alav, what is the pasuk coming to teach us? The Knivas Yerek. Isn't the Brisa coming to teach us that Knivas Yerek is Osir? Says the Gemara, Loi. What it's coming to teach us is that Loi lan lamalocha. Kippur Shechalis B'Shabbos mutar b'Knivas Yerek. Knivas Yerek is mutar. And continues the brisa, mafatzim agoizim, we're allowed to crack nuts, ufachsim remoinim, and we're allowed to break open pomegranates, mina mincha lamala, minagmas nefesh. As Rashi explained, we should work with food when we're so hungry and still not be allowed to eat it. So we see that this brisa clearly teaches us that even Yom Kippur is on Shabbos, it's mutter to do knivas yerek. It's interesting to point out that there was a minig that children, when they came to shul, would play with nuts on Yom Kippur. And the Darki Moshe says that this is the, and the Agudah say, that this is where the minig came from. The Be'er Rabbi Yehuda Makvi Karava, the people of Rabbi Yehuda's home would trim cabbage on Yom Kippur. The Be'er Rabbi Kardigari would scrape pumpkins. Kivin the Chaz Dekav Mecharfi, when they saw that they started doing it earlier. As we've been learning, you're only allowed to do it when min amincha mamala. So he told them, Asa gart amalahu. So Rava told the people in his family, Asa gart marava. A letter came from Eretz Yisrael, Mishmeid Rabbi Yochanan da Osir. Even though there was no such letter that came, but they told them that such a letter came because like that, the people will pay attention. And in fact, the Magen Avraham in Simen Kuf Nun Vav, Suf Katan Beis, says a very big chiddush based on this Gemara. He says that if somebody wants to teach a halacha and he knows that people are not going to listen to that, are not going to listen to him, what he's allowed to do is say it in the name of Adam Gadol. He should quote that this was not my psak. It was a psak that I heard from Adam Gadol, because if he knows that that's why a person, that's the way people will accept the halacha, a Talmid Chacham has the obligation to make sure that people will follow the halacha and do whatever is necessary to get them to follow the halacha. And I saw, because it's the obligation of a Talmid Chacham to make sure that the people of his family and the people of his household, people of his community, do the right thing. And therefore, he needs to do and he can do whatever is necessary to make sure the halacha gets established properly. Hadron loch eluk sharim, hadron loch eluk sharim, hadron loch eluk sharim.